Good morning, men. Well, it is great to see so many of you in person. And whether it's the Delta variant, the Lambda or Mu, it doesn't matter. But I love the way so many of us have adjusted to the new normal. Okay, by show of hands, how many of you have ever received extra tutoring or help in an area you weren't good at? I see your hand up already. For instance, math, science. Okay, so about 3/4 of us. I stink at math, and I was horrible in algebra. And my parents spent a lot of money during my high school years on tutors to get my math grade up so that I would have a halfway respectable GPA. Have you ever considered, gentlemen, that doing that was maybe not the right thing to do? Well, Dr. Don Clifton certainly didn't think so. 30 years ago, Dr. Clifton, who's a very renowned American psychologist, who's known for his Clifton Strength Finders assessment, challenged the world with the following statement. Listen to this. Focus on your strengths and manage, don't improve, your weaknesses. In other words, don't spend your time on your weaknesses. Instead, invest in those areas of giftedness, of strength. Now, this thinking that Clifton had was revolutionary. It was a major paradigm shift. And the question, though, that you and I probably have is, so did people buy into this new paradigm shift? Well, since Dr. Clifton launched it, over 25 million Strength Finder assessments have been taken. 25 million. In fact, a lot of major businesses, like medical Fortune 100 company Stryker, have made it an essential part of their recruitment and placement policy. In fact, Stryker just celebrated its 11th consecutive year on the 100 best companies to work for. 11th consecutive year. I love the fact that there are always doubters. And Gallup, pollster Gallup, said, you know what? We really want to measure how effective this is for companies, not just Stryker, but for everyone who embraces this idea of focusing on strengths and employing people based on their strengths. Now, what they found out is really remarkable. Listen to these findings. Again, where companies employed employees based on their strengths and put them in jobs where they could use the strengths, this is what they had with respect to results. 81% lower absenteeism, 64% fewer incidents, 41% less quality defects, increased productivity by 14%, increased sales of 18%, and 23% higher productivity. The bottom line, employees who use their strengths dramatically outperform those who don't. Now, the Apostle Paul was someone who knew his God-given gifts. Paul was an incredibly gifted orator that God used to spearhead the gospel. And he used it to spread it across the known nations of the world. Not just the Gentiles, but the entire known world. So as you open your Bible this morning to our text that we're going to look at, 1 Timothy 4, verses 14 through 16, I want you to picture the Apostle Paul as he's writing this epistle to his protege, Timmy, telling him the importance of using and finding one's gifts. So read the text with me. Verse 14, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So what's Paul telling Timothy? Saying, use your gift, which was given you by the Holy Spirit, and use it completely. Use your gift so that it's not wasted for God and eternity. You know, the Bible is replete with examples of gifted men who wasted this God-given talent that they received. My favorite example is probably Samson. You remember him? This guy was a real-life superhero, endowed with superhuman strength. This is a man who slew 1,000 people, 1,000 men, with the jawbone of a donkey. And every time I read about Samson in the book of Judges, I just shake my head. This is a guy who could have done so much for God. Not just God, but his people, the Israelites. But because of his arrogance and his inability to have his big head control his little head, he squandered his gift and he wasted his potential. What a waste of a life. He could have done so more with much more with his gift. Do you remember the parable of the tenants? Matthew 25. Three servants, two servants invested the gift or the talent they received from their master. But the third servant didn't. The third or lazy servant literally buried his talent. Samson and the lazy servant in the parable of talents are great examples of men who thought of themselves only and used their gifts for themselves only. They didn't use it for God's glory, and as a result, wasted their potential. Listen to Colossians 1:6. Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth, the things we can see and the things we can't, the spirit world with all its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities. All were made by Christ for his own use and his glory. Let me read that last part again. All were made by Christ for his own use and for his glory. You and I were created with one reason in mind: to glorify this incredible God who created us. Not for our own well-being or pleasure. In other words, don't waste what God has given us like Samson did. God gave us gifts that we can make him known. And Paul also tells us we're supposed to use our gifts to help others. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Let's focus on the first part of verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Guess what, gentlemen? Everyone here today or watching virtually, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, has at least one spiritual gift. If you don't believe me, listen to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's unpack what these gifts are. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Someone else may be especially good at studying and teaching. That's his gift, from the exact same Spirit. He gives special faith to another, and to someone else the power to heal the sick. He gives power for doing miracles to some, and to others to prophesy and preach. He gives someone else the power to know whether evil spirits are speaking through those who claim to be giving God's messages, or whether it's really the Spirit of God who is speaking. Still another person is able to speak in languages he never learned, and others, who do not know the language either, are given power to understand what he is saying. It is the same and only Holy Spirit who gives all these gifts and powers, deciding each one of us what they should receive. In other words, if you don't like your spiritual gift, you need to take it up with the Holy Spirit. But the bottom line is you have at least one spiritual gift. And let me recap them for us in perhaps even more modern language. Perhaps you can give wise counsel and advice. Maybe you're a really good teacher. Maybe you can present well or preach. Maybe you can see into the future or prophesy. You're a visionary. Maybe you have an incredible power of discernment. Maybe you're a great encourager. And maybe you can heal. And maybe it's not just physical. Maybe it's emotional or mental. And maybe you have the gift of speaking and learning many different languages. Gentlemen, the Holy Spirit has given you at least one of these gifts. As the leader of your family or in your workplace, God has gifted you with this gift, or perhaps gifts, to help others and to glorify this incredible God that you worship. So as we, as leaders, interact with our fellow co-workers and our family members and our friends, our neighbors, do they know about our gifts? Are you open about them? Maybe I should first ask, do you know what your gift is? If you're not sure, well, here's a litmus test. Three things to look for. One, you're really good at something and it comes very naturally to you. Two, those around you say, you know what, you're really good at this and it comes very easily to you. And three, it bears good fruit. In other words, there are great results as a result of you doing this, engaging your gift. If all three of those things are happening, guess what? You're in your sweet spot and you're using your gift. But maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're saying, Lars, I really don't know what my gifts are. And if that describes you, and I don't care what your age is, I strongly encourage you to check out the Personal MetaPath program that's offered by the Leadership Development Company. For those of you who don't know what the Leadership Development Company is, it's a brother organization, Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. Gents, I want you to imagine a world where your gifts, those things you do naturally well, are used and aligned in a manner that gives you incredible joy and produces awesome results, all the while glorifying Jesus Christ. You can, and you could do that through the use of something called a life purpose statement. You know, I didn't have a life purpose statement until Chris White Sr. and Suzanne took me through the original Leadership Development Company's career planning process. And I did this at the ripe old age of 58, over 2 years ago. So if I can do it, you can do it. And I'll tell you, gentlemen, I learned so much about myself. Not just my gifts and my aptitudes, but most importantly, it helped me ensure that I'm engaging them in a manner that glorifies Jesus Christ. That everything is put through the purview and the filter of my life purpose statement. My life purpose statement is trust and obey while passionately leading the way. And so everything I do now, all my gifts, my strength, everything I do is put through that filter of my life purpose statement. And it's given me joy but also peace. And I could not have done that without going through this career development process. My only regret is that I didn't do this years ago. Fortunately, I didn't waste them as much as Samson and wait too long like Samson. But if you don't know your gifts and you're not sure, I strongly encourage you to check out the Leadership Development Company and embark on an incredible adventure. By the way, as the leader of your family, it's not just important for you yourself to know what your gifts are, but make sure your wife, your children, your grandchildren know what their gifts are. Because as Gallup discovered, we're a lot more productive and we're a lot happier when we operate in our areas of strength. So as we get ready to head into our time of table discussion, I want you to listen to the words 1 Peter 4. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Gentlemen, let's use our gifts. First of all, let's find them, then use them and make our desks at work altars for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for being the one in control of time. We thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts You've bestowed on us. Help us to really understand what gift You've given us, Lord, and to put it into use in a manner that glorifies You while helping those around us and also giving us joy. We thank You for this in Jesus Christ. Amen.